WKBK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
The King will desire your beauty, since he is your Lord, bow to him. Hear, O daughter, and consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the King will desire your beauty. Since he is your Lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people. All glorious is the princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold. In many colored robes, she is led to the king with her virgin companions following behind her. With joy and gladness, they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. In place of your father shall be your sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. and the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your Lord, bow to him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We invite the congregation to stand, and we welcome those tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for joining us. And all those who gather in the sanctuary with us this morning, the Lord has brought us together in his blessings and his grace, and we're thankful. We begin with our invocation and our holy absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered here to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ. And by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our versicles.
O Lord, open my lips.
To God, our light and our life.
Let's worship him.
Oh, God, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing a joyful voice to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence and thank him.
give glory to God, our light and our life. Let us pray. O Lord, what man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good?
Keep our tongue from evil, our lips from speaking deceit.
Turn us away from evil, O Lord, and do good to us. Help us seek peace and pursue it.
Your eyes, O Lord, are toward the righteous, and your ears toward our cry.
Your face is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth.
When the righteous cry for help,
you hear us, O Lord,
and deliver us out of all our troubles.
Lord, you are near to the brokenhearted, and you saved the crushed in spirit.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you, O Lord, deliver us out of them all.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please be seated. We invite you now to join us in singing our hymn. That's 862, Oh Bless the House. Let's sing together. Our first reading for this morning comes from the book of Proverbs in the 9th chapter. We don't see Proverbs a lot in the lectionary, but blessings this morning from the wisdom of the Lord through Solomon in chapter 9. We begin in verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading for this morning from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, a reading from Ephesians chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us. We invite the congregation to stand for our Alleluia verse. Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." In many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Amen. Please be seated. In our proverb this morning from chapter 9 in the book of Proverbs, we read, "Whoever is simple," or from the original language of the Hebrew word here, "whoever is naive," or you could even translate young or simple. But simple here isn't really a good connotation in this proverb, but it more carries the nuance of insufficient or not yet able. To the simple, he says, or she says, excuse me, that being the understood as the church, the witness of Christ on earth, his very bride, "Turn in here. Turn in here." Like, pull off the road. Stop your journey here, O simple one. Come rest your desire to be master of all things. All who labor and are weary, trying to be master in their understanding, turn in here and rest. The proverb goes on, "Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple or naive ways and live and walk in the way of insight and true understanding." Here's the thing. To be naive or simple in the proverb is not what we assume it is. According to the Bible, to have understanding means something totally different than we naturally assume it does. The reason is that we have our own definition of what it means to understand something or be wise. And it's not the Bible's definition at all. For us to say we understand, what we mean is that we comprehend or we master intellectually how something works to the point that we could control it. That's what we mean when we say, "I understand." Have you ever seen a child tear apart an old radio? They take it, maybe set it on the kitchen table and start wrenching on it with a screwdriver. I tried to tear apart an Xbox one time. I don't know how it works. But we want to understand things, right? It's a passion, a desire of ours. And that kind of quest isn't really all bad, right? Like, it's fruited many conveniences for humanity within the history of the world. I had to pick one, so I picked the modern refrigerator. That's a cool convenience, right? Keep things cold. Do you know who we have to thank for that wonderful little contraption that we plug into the wall and it sits in our kitchen and keeps our food cold? Beer brewers. It's true. It turns out cutting ice, huge chunks of ice out of lakes and then hauling those huge chunks of ice into caves, yeah, underneath the brewery, to keep the beer cold wasn't very much fun. It wasn't very cheap. So we have them to thank for wanting to understand how to keep things cold and our refrigerators, which we still enjoy today. This morning, if you'd allow me, I'd like to help show you how the Bible's definition of understanding, or as the proverb puts it, walking in the way of insight, puts our definition on ice too. Fact is, we're drunk, but not on beer, but on what it means to understand something. We're drunk. We think logically, 2 + 2 has to equal 4. It's logic. But logic, while it does reveal order in creation and thus point us to God, we have to remember this: logic is not God. Just in case you miss, right? Logic is not God. It's hot outside, and some say it's getting hotter. Why? So many who are in love with their own rational conclusions say it's because of the cows. The methane from the cows, when they, you know, do what cows do, is heating up the whole world. Have you ever seen one of those maps on like TV or your phone of the airlines, the airline maps? It's like what the flight control people see, and there's, it shows every jet that's flying all over the country. Have you ever seen one of those maps? There's so many jets flying on those maps that you can't even see the ground through all the jets. Thousands and thousands and thousands of jets burning millions of gallons of jet fuel literally up in the sky, in the clouds, and we reason out somehow that it's the cow's fault? I'm not against jets, just so you know. I think they're pretty cool. I like them. What I am against is the way that some of these conclusions get drawn, right? The rationale or the understanding behind the way that humanity thinks. You gotta watch out sometimes, because some things are dangerous smoke screens for political agendas, and I stop there. Because that aside, what we're most concerned about this morning is the way we search for truth. The way we search for truth, the way we as people say we know or we understand, the way we conclude or understand even things about God. To see if he's real. Stick with me on this. The way that we understand or conclude things about God, to see if he's real, to understand how he works, people first appeal to their logic to understand this. And thereby, we set up little experiments in our lives. We'll pray for what we want, and then we'll watch to see if God is real, if he'll follow our dictates and our understanding of what should happen. We try to put God in our own little proverbial petri dish that way. And then we watch under the microscope of our daily experience, don't we? To test him. For unbelievers, to see if he's even real. For believers, to attempt to understand him and to see if what we've heard from the Bible is actually right. I want to encourage you this morning. If your experimental attempts at proving God have failed, consider this. He's not going to fit into your experiment. He's God. According to Deuteronomy chapter 13, he tests. We don't test him.
But we're used to it. We're used to testing everything on earth and drawing our own conclusions and developing theories according to our own understanding. And for the things that God created, friends, in the kingdom of the world, to be under your authority and my authority, under humanity's authority, that kind of thinking works really well. We can figure out lots of cool stuff. But God? Would we really subject him to the same type of test? He's not under us like created things are, or subject to our experimental ways of understanding. And he may very well to teach us that he's above us, purposely avoid or fail your test or mine. He'll always provide for you, but he may short-circuit our attempts at trying to be above him. See, because in testing him that way, we're actually telling him, we're proving to him that we don't love him, that we don't trust him, that we simply doubt him. And by the mere reality of our experiments that we futilely subject him to, we show him that we think he falls under the same category as things that are under our authority rather than above us. These engagements, these attempts at knowledge, these wild goose chases we go on trying to prove or understand God, these are what the Proverbs are referring to as naive or simple. We call it knowledge, but it isn't. See, the scriptures have another idea of knowledge, true knowledge. Listen to verse 10 of our same proverb this morning. The fear of the Lord, it says, is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is what the proverb is saying. Whoever is simple or naive, thinking that God is under their experimental authority, turn in here. Come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. See, because we can approach, I mean, it's not by coincidence that the proverb's talking about bread and wine, just so you know. We could approach the bread and wine even of the sacrament in the same way. And many do. We hear Jesus teaching on the sacrament. Did you hear that? I know you didn't miss John chapter 6 this morning, because it's a bomb, right, to listen to. We struggle with it. His disciples also struggled with it, right? You heard that part where they were like, this is a tough teaching. Who can hear this? We struggle, but I want to talk about, just for a few minutes, what's the struggle? What is it exactly that we struggle with when we hear Jesus say those kinds of things? It's simple. We can't understand. We can't come to grips with it. It doesn't make sense according to the way we normally gain knowledge of everything else in the created world. We can't synthesize Jesus' words like we're used to. Listen to him again, would you? He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Verse 53 and 54, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Can you see what Jesus is doing here? Can you see what he's up to? His teaching right here in John 6 purposefully puts us in a place where we have to examine exactly how we understand, how we seek knowledge. If we go with the world's model of having to master things logically and intellectually before we'll believe they're true, then we're never going to believe a word of what Jesus says in John chapter 6. But if by God's grace and by his word, Jesus leads us to turn in here, to really fear the Lord, this shows that he's blessed us so that we might acknowledge him for real, respect him enough to leave room for faith in what we confess and what we believe, even if we can't fully understand. Why? Just because he said so. Then the question falls to us. It falls to you. It falls to me. It falls to every single one of us. Do you really trust anyone but your own understanding? Like, I'm asking you straight up. Do you really trust anyone? Do I? Aside from our own logical conclusions that we've made sense out of in the world, for most people, an honest answer is no, I don't. I don't. God this morning is going to help us. He's going to help us make a distinction between things we are in authority over, that God created us to be in authority over, right? He put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to work in the garden and gave them mastery over the plants and the fish of the sea and the animals which he created, really over the whole world in that sense. There's a distinction between things that we're in authority over, the created things of the kingdom of the world, mechanical refrigerators and such, and things that are at work in the world, but are completely and totally not under your or my control and not under our authority, but they're still at work in the world, but they're truly above us. God and his kingdom, these things we are not above, but he remains above us. And get this, it's true even in what logically makes sense about him and about his gifts. He remains an authority. He wants to show us that we can actually trust something beside ourselves and our own logical conclusions. We can trust him. We can trust him. In matters of faith, we shouldn't trust ourselves and our own logical conclusions and the things that have always protected us in this world, the thinking that keeps us safe down here. Our ways of understanding and seeking truth and our insight, guess what? It completely malfunctions when we try to subject things greater than us to our way of seeking out truth and understanding. When we take that logical mind that works really great on this earth and has us trust in nobody but ourselves, and we try to judge God with that logical mind, it completely malfunctions. Can't do it. Can we hear this morning together, gathered around the word and sacraments, can we hear the God who's above us, the trustworthy God who loves us and sent his son to die for us? Can we hear him? Listen again. Whoever's naive, turn in here. Where? At the wine he mixes and his bread at the sacrament. Can we hear him when he says, "This is my body and this is my blood"? Let him show you that this is Jesus. The bread is his flesh indeed, and the wine is true drink, his blood. Our logic fails here. It has no worldly proof. It's above our pay grade, but it's still true, and it's still him. Our ways of concluding and understanding fall short when we subject God to them. And friends, this is the most amazing thing, I think, too. He's doing it on purpose. He set it up that way on purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God chose what the world calls foolish to put to shame those who think they are wise. Leave those simple and naive ways and live and walk in the way of insight. What's that? Faith. Trust in God. Brothers and sisters, God is really here in the world, and he's really at work through his word. And when we try to place him under us, thinking we have to master him in our minds, that we have to completely comprehend his word and sacraments, then we run square into his reality. Precisely in our confusion there, he shows himself that he will not succumb to naive ways, but instead by them shows us our true identity. We are created. We are under him. He shows us his loving authority by his gifts of salvation and forgiveness. Do you trust him when he says you're forgiven? Then trust him when he says, my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. And since we eat and drink God himself and take his very life, think about it this way, his very life we take into our own body. For this reason, we know for sure. And by faith, we will understand his word is true. That's the Bible's definition of understanding. Has faith as a part of it. We'll know that we're safe. We'll know that we're forgiven when we trust Jesus' words. And he'll raise us up on the last day. So in our thinking, friends, always turn in here at the fear of the Lord. Faith is the beginning of wisdom, as our proverb said. So come and eat of the bread and drink of the wine that he has mixed as we leave our simple ways and live and walk in the way of his insight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we sing our canticle this morning. You'll notice our canticle is broken up into two parts. The congregation sings the first part, and then all sing the second part, and the congregation and the pastor together sing the Gloria Patri at the end. Child shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to declare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us
to shine on those who dwell in the darkness of the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Please be seated. We come to the time in our service now where we have the opportunity to share a portion of the gifts that the Lord has given us in our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we invite you to sing along with us to hymn 655, Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts, Lord, which you've worked in us to give. Lord, we ask that these gifts would go to the use that people would hear of your forgiveness and your love for them. Lord, use us and use these gifts. Bless those who give and those who cannot give, and protect and strengthen your church. In Christ we pray. Amen. We now come to our prayer of the church this morning. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we offer before you our common supplication for the well-being of your church throughout the world. So guide and govern it by your Holy Spirit, that all who profess themselves Christian may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, that they may please you in all things. Behold in mercy all who are in authority over us. Supply them with your blessing, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. We humbly ask you for your abiding presence in every situation, that you would make known your ways among us. Preserve those who travel, satisfy the wants of your creatures, and help those who call upon you in any need. Especially we name now before you this morning from the altar Jaden Wright, Dick Reitz, the family of Pastor Chris Gerdes, Janice Ross, Carissa Wright, Betty Paulson, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, may they have your patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, be released from their afflictions. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you, and sing. We praise the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg.